moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. Moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. Moving to the country, gonna eat a lot of peaches. Moving to the country, gonna eat a lot of peaches. I took a little nap with a moose on twist, squished a rotten peach in my fist, and dreamed about you, woman. I broke my finger down inside, make a little room for an ant to hide. Nature's candy in my hand, or can or pie.
Friends and family of Werder Bremen, welcome to the live Werder Bremen post-game show. The theme of the show this year has been chaos, and it has not disappointed at all. This is, of course, the show by the fans, for the fans. And if you're hearing us, I guess, on whatever podcast platform that you have, you can also join us when we go live. If you want to join the Podbean app or get the Podbean app, you can jump on the live call. And there's people already joining us, and they jump into the chat room. And yeah, King Ian says, was just talking about the presidents of the United States recently. And you know what, honestly, like, so 25 years before the peaches emoji even becomes a thing, a band called the Presidents of the United States were already laying it down for everybody. So if you want to join the live chat, you can, or if you want to reach out to us after the fact or in any other way, you can find Christian on Twitter at SVWOMYTFC, myself at Not Easy Green. And if you've got larger bits of mail that you want to send in particular, we would love to get fan stories. So how you became a fan of the club. The North America fan of Werder Bremen is usually a unique story, so we'd love to hear more of those. Please send them to the email account noteasygreen2017@gmail.com. And everything that we do, that you can find links to everything that's going on the link tree. And just recently added is the Brian Ramirez YouTube channel, or I guess Werder Brian. So we definitely want anybody that's doing stuff in the community. We never want to view this as competition. We never want to view this as like we're some kind of gatekeepers or whatever. The big goal here has always been to create a community. And Brian is doing some really cool work on YouTube, just kind of like vlogging his experience as a brand new fan to the club. And he's, you know, gaining quite a bit of a following there. So if you're not familiar with the work he's doing, please, you know, go check it out. And you can find that on our Linktree, linktree.ee/WerderNA, and definitely check out the Brian Ramirez YouTube, and also check out the shop for, I'm not sure how much longer, but the St. Chris Grubb t-shirt is still available for those that need to get their hands on one of those. And yeah, just to give you an idea who's all joining us today. So, I mean, we got a few people in here. Sooners with us, of course. Sooners always. I'm not sure if Sooners anything else to do on a Sunday. Frings 22 is here. Nice to see you again. King Ian, as I mentioned, nudes in bio, which I'm pretty sure is Juan. Dustin's here. Salty's with us. And Horny Squirtle 10. I'll get that one correct this time. And as always, joining us on the show is my co-pilot and your favorite person in the world, Christian, what it do?
What in motherfucking do? What's good, fella?
Well, I don't know. I hadn't given it much thought. I just spent a little while driving my boy around in the car so that he slept. So we're a little ram jammy here before we start the show.
Hey, it's been that kind of day for me too. I hear you.
Oh, nice. What'd you get up to this weekend?
Well, Friday there was like an Adidas event. I was involved in that last year. Yeah. This year I was not necessarily, didn't use anything for, display purposes, but I was still invited to a bunch of shit and got a free pair of shoes and a jersey. And
oh, nice.
Yeah, met some decent people, got fed, drank too much, and then Saturday was give or take a write-off. I actually don't have internet right now. Big shout-outs to Virgin Mobile, doing a great job of not coming through with the actual shit I pay them to do. So I've been without internet for 3-4 days, but thankfully I've got data on my phone. So I still, my OnlyFans is still up and running. Don't worry. Yeah,
the important stuff is still happening. That's what
still able to masturbate with great frequency, a little bit more edge to it. Cause I'm always worrying, is this the last little bit of data? But then I remember I've got unlimited. So no, it's a little bit more dangerous, you know, a little spice.
I think as soon as you said you had no internet, there probably was a collective gasp among our regular viewers and listeners. Yeah,
that makes two of us. And then today I had to get a secondary. I have two scooters, like not the push scooters, not those Nespas? Fucking irritating. Yes, thank you. Piaggio, runs on gas. Anyways, I have one that I got to sell, and I pulled it out of storage.
Down with the environment. Runs on gas. Attaboy.
Fucking nuke a whale. Let's go.
Club and Seals. Oomsa, oomsa, oomsa.
That's right. Eat shit.
Well, what have you done for me lately, Seal?
Not a fucking thing. Worm infested little shits.
Well, let's get rocking and rolling here. So Werder, with two wins in a row, played host to Gladbach, a team of similar standing at home in the Weserstadion. The game marks the club's 1,000th easy for me to say, in the Bundesliga. And what better way to mark the occasion than with a guarantee of Bundesliga games next season? It would be Gladbach getting off the mark first on a direct pass, exploiting Werder's high press against the ball. Images after the game gave evidence this goal should have been ruled out for offside, and VAR did nothing to intervene. Werder would equalize before the half on a nifty goal scored by Voltomad. Yes, you heard me right. No need to check your listening device or your radio. Imagine being on a radio. You heard me correctly. Boy Wonder, who has done nothing for the club, near as we can tell. And we're better off without him. Fuck. Yeah, we go on to bag a brace. The second one he scored was with his head, to thoroughly contradict those who said he had no ability in the air. With the 2-1 lead, Werner opted to switch to the tried and true method of grinding out a win, or at least the oft-tried method of grinding out a win.
We've got a solid defense. It's a proven fucking thing for us. Brilliant strategy.
It would be in the final moments of the game that Friedel would be called for a handball in the box, giving the visitors the opportunity to equalize at the end of the game. A call some would say is controversial given the obscure nature of the rules around what is a handball. The single point at the end of the game is just enough, though, to push Werder beyond all suspicion of a relegation battle and secures their position next season in the Bundesliga. Though some may feel aggrieved that the game arguably should have been won by Werder, many are choosing to forego the disappointment and choose a bit of joy or relief that Werder had done it again. Remaining in the Bundesliga, your second season after promotion has been labeled the more difficult than the first. With the loss of Füllkrug and the amount of drama that managed to surround the team this season, one can only tip their cap and dab the sweat from their brow as they thank the team for pulling off what will end up looking like quite an incredible season. Yes, we are talking about the worst Bundesliga season on record with regards to quality and competition, but Werder still got it done and therefore deserves recognition and gratitude from the fans for a job done. Christian, your thoughts on the game?
Hold on a second. Just before people start whining about the quality of my fucking mic, which I know is going to happen at some point. Can you hear me okay? Are things acceptable? Is everything to everybody's quality, preference of quality? I'm lying down on my couch. To be honest, waiting for it sooner, you fucking dick. You know what? Eat shit. Anyways,
it's whelming, said King Ian. It's whelming.
Perfect. That's a better grade I'm looking for.
Just so you know, I am putting together a montage of the best of from this season. And there's a little section I'm putting together of all the times that your microphone and like horns going off in the background.
Sort of standard. If there's not me bitching about it or somebody else bitching about it and then me bitching about it, it's not been a proper show.
That's right.
Anyways, I had this marked down as a 2-1 loss. Mostly just because I find when I've been pessimistic about the games, we've managed to pull one out. It's actually just literally me focusing on luck at this point and superstitions. There's right. no logic behind
Nothing
it.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. So I mean, when we were up 2-0, I was like, obviously elated. I was a little bit kind of like, yeah, I guess I can kind of see it. We've been really hot the last two games. When they scored the first one, I was like, yeah, that's about par for the course. And then when they equalized, I wasn't even angry. I was like, at least we got a fucking point. It sucks because it would be dope to be in eighth place. But that doesn't even necessarily mean we're going to finish there. At the end of the season, we've had, you know, tons of conversations about whether or not Europe is appropriate for us at this time. I get that fans want that. Question is, can our team actually handle it? Can our finances handle it? There's a lot of things there that people mm-hmm. are thinking about, you know.
We got a good question at the end of the show for that.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, at the end of the day, it was a really good performance from the team, though. Like a third one in the row. We were firing on all cylinders. I'm not even upset about the call. I'm trying to think of who I was talking to. I was talking to the fella who's in Wales.
The Werder fan club there?
Yeah, I guess it might be. I know he's like a student and he's kind of like new to the team. He said he just started watching after promotion.
Oh, man. Are you talking about Roach?
Yeah, I'm talking about Roach.
Okay.
We were watching, shout outs to Juan and his potato feed there. Because of my internet, I obviously was not allowed to watch, or not allowed, I was not unable. So it's not like the government said I can't watch it. I was unable to watch the game on my TV, so I had to watch it on my phone, which was amazing, considering I only had about 4 hours sleep and was potentially still drunk when I woke up. But Roach and I were actually talking back and forth because he was also watching Juan's feed. It's like this interesting little cellar that we were both crammed into. prisoners.
It was a potato cold room is what it was.
Seriously. So we had some good conversations going back and forth, but I mean, we were both pretty content with how the team looked. We talked a lot about the handball call. At this point, man, I don't even know what the rules are. Like, especially when it's not an obvious handball. Roach was pretty certain that it was. I was like, you know what? It looked ball to hand to me. But I know that they'll just call these willy-nilly. Like, there's no – it's up to the individual. You know what I mean? And you're rarely going to get any consistent opinion on it when it happens. Obviously, the team who has the call against is all going to be in unison saying, like, that's horse shit. As for the team it's for, you may actually get people who are like, no, I'll take the penalty, but that wasn't really a fucking handball to me. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how I felt about it. I mean, these are human beings and they're supposed to be in a natural, like, I don't even understand. If I was a center back or a defender, I would not know how to position my fucking body anymore. And realistically, when you're in the moment, you're not like, ooh, better tuck my arms to my sides, flat against my ass, cupping my butt cheek so I don't get a fucking handball. You know what I mean? Like, it's whatever. It is what it is. We gained a point. We're up.
No, really, tell me how you feel about it.
Good, not just good performance, great performance from the team in general. Love to see that Voltimata got two goals. I'm sure even the naysayers were excited, and we're never going to convince them that he is the quality that he is. I mean, he can go on to, you know, win multiple club regardless, anyways, yeah.
No, that sounds like a decent segue to get into the things that were awesome and the things that sucked. Let's talk about some three up and three down.
On air, once a week, we talk footy, yeah, so unique. Ripping on the coast from our seats, up in Canada with our Bremen beats.
All right, Christian, let's, obviously this is going to be another one of those super positive shows. I'm sure I'm feeling the positivity that you're offering right now. Where do you want to start? You want to start with things that were great or things that were not so great?
I'm good with whatever. It doesn't matter to me. What do you want to start with?
Let's finish off with the things that were great. Let's start with things that stuck.
Sure.
Did you find anything that wasn't so great about this game?
Yes, defending a lead. I've always hated that as a tactic. I think it's moronic. You don't take your foot off the fucking gas. I know Ole loves to do it. I'm kind of over it. I've accepted it. Along with a lot of other things that he does that I don't approve of. This would probably be my top
three top five, and that has not changed. We don't have the defense for it. It's probably never worked in our favor. I don't know when the last time we grinded out a win, you know what I mean, was in that sort of situation.
Mainz would be probably a game where we did that.
And that was how long ago?
That was last game. But
really? Jesus Christ. I don't remember that, to be honest, but I'll take your word for it. I
mean, we definitely packed it in at the end. Byron was a good example there. Nudes in bio, if I should use your appropriate name.
Yeah, Byron, I'll take. Yeah, okay, fine. Fuck, never mind. I hate you guys. No, it's...
as a footballing concept, though, if you're going to pack everybody in front of the net and just hope to hang on for 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You are, over the course of a full season, it doesn't work as often as maybe you hope it will. Yeah.
Well, yeah, especially when you don't have a good defense. I mean, realistically, our defense is kind of adequate. It's all right. I'd give them maybe like a C in the league. You know, we have some great games and we have some absolutely fucking awful, awful ones. And in this case, it's kind of par for the course, what we expected. That was just kind of disappointing. I mean, I've seen it with a bunch of other teams. Like, I used to see it with Germany leading up to the World Cup win, and that was always frustrating. And then finally, somewhere along the lines, they just, like, Jürgen Löw was like, why don't we just try and score more goals? Yeah, no shit. Like, why are you showing fucking mercy, man? I'm 110%, you know, no mercy, fucking beat a dead horse, beat it until it's like a fine paste in the ground, and then we can put it on a grill and eat that and then defecate it out and then, you know, use that to you know, give it for the garden. We do not show any mercy. I don't know why that is. Like, we have to win, especially in this position where goal differential is a fucking thing. Like, what are we saving up for?
Well, even just from a philosophical point of view of how you're approaching the game, right? If the idea is we don't want them to score another goal and tie the game, I would be better off if they scored a goal and tied the game because we were trying to pursue another goal and playing offensive football than if they score a goal while we're trying to pack it all in and defend like crazy, right?
Absolutely. 110%. No, 110%. And that's, you know, essentially what we saw. So, whatever. That was my first sort of gripe. I guess, which kind of leads to my second one, which we were already talking about, the equalizer / handball. I don't know. Like, I'm not as whipped up about it as a lot of people are. I've just kind of resigned. But it kind of threw like a bit of a sprinkling of shit dust on what was a pretty fun game to watch. You know, in a series of fun games to watch, once again, showing what we are capable of. But unfortunately not consistently capable of for whatever reason. That was kind of like my second one. Sure. And my third one was the defending on a lead. Was the Voltomata sub. Yeah, it was the Voltomata sub. I didn't like that at all. The man scored two goals, you know, has been looking absolutely incredible. And you decide to keep on Dukes and take off Voltomata. And then who do we take him off for? We took him off for like Stay. Who was it? It was like a midfielder, if I'm not mistaken. It was at least somebody who was a little bit more defensive minded, didn't make any sense to me. It was Stay. Which I love. Like, I love Stay. Should he be on? Absolutely. Especially because Leo wasn't necessarily having the best of games yesterday. I don't think he was terrible, but he definitely wasn't playing as well as the two games before.
Schmid had a pretty invisible game as far as I'm concerned, right? Like, you could have pulled Schmid. You could have made.
Sure.
Yeah. I think there
were a lot of options that weren't Voltomata, basically, is what it comes down to. You know what I mean? So, like, as to why it came off, one of those things as well, where I'm just like, I can't see into the mind of Ole Werner. I'm not going to try. He does a lot of things that don't make sense to me. I don't agree with. And I mean, we're close to the end of the season, so I'm just not going to gripe about it. Cause you've heard 30 odd games of that. Yeah, exactly. So I'll spare everybody the disgruntled rant for now. Anyways, those are my downs.
Okay, well, we actually doubled up on a couple of them here. So first thing that I thought that sucked is that Virta really do lack ideas when they can't run the wings effectively or play with the lead. Like when they play with the lead or they can access the wings, I feel that we've got a team in its current iteration, the way that they're currently set up, they can do something. But like I've been impressed with Werder's control over the majority of the game, and we'll get to that with some of the ups. However, the team remains a one, possibly two trick pony. If they're forced to play from behind or have minimal access to the wings, the only offense they can generate, it seems to be through a high press, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It leaves them.
I'm waiting for us to get found out in the same way we got found. I've been thinking the same thing, waiting for us to be found out in the same way we were found out at the start of the season.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it makes us highly susceptible with the high back line. And there were a number of times actually that Gladbach were able to play through our defense because of that high line. But, you know, I felt more disappointing was actually the lack of ideas and creativity when Werder did have the ball. They were too slow in the buildup. They allowed Gladbach to set their defense up. And then they would kind of eventually chip or cross the ball into the box where Gladbach had their defenders, you know, positioned well, waiting for the ball to come in. It still remains the largest Werder playbook construction site over the last 5 years. So that was the first one that I had. The second one was talking about the penalty and the offside from like the VAR situation. I've said it before on the show. I don't mind saying it again. I actually don't like VAR. I'd personally prefer it wasn't part of the game. I believe I read that Sweden's footballing organization just removed it from their league. I'd love to see the Bundesliga do the same. VAR and the use of it's an attempt to perfect the game, to make the calls perfect. And there's nothing perfect about sport, right? Players, coaches, refs,
everybody. Human errors. Yeah.
And it all plays a role into the outcome of that game. I've been far more comfortable with that reality than the idea that, you know, we might spend 5 minutes of game time to find out if someone's shoelace floated into the offside position. Like the biggest issue I find with VAR is that its intended purpose is to create perfection around potentially controversial situations. So what happens when it can't, doesn't, or in this, like, or fails to, like, all you've done now with VAR is you've added an additional layer of imperfect bureaucracy on top of what was already imperfect. So rather than perfection or the right call every time, we're now getting wrong calls, no calls, missed calls, all while interrupting the game and casting a shadow of hypocrisy over the concept of VAR. I don't think the sport needs it. I think it certainly could do better without it. Anyway, that was my second down.
Yeah, no, you know what? I think that's fair. It's just being applied incorrectly so often that it just ruins the game. You know, I wasn't even actually anti-VAR. I was like, you know what, for some shit, it might make sense. But they apply it all the time and so poorly that it's just like, why do we even fucking use this? You know what I mean? I'm rarely like celebrating a VAR decision being like, wow, nobody saw that coming. And now I'm glad they did that because it really clarifies it. You know, more often than not, you're just like, what the flying fuck was that? And why are they calling it?
Well, like I said, even if there was a really high threshold for mistakes with VAR, but there isn't. Yeah. We find inconsistencies all the time. So, again, I think it just creates an error of again, I call it hypocrisy around the concept, right? It's supposed to achieve this. It's not. So let's just get rid of it. Okay, the third thing that I thought that sucked was not using Staya from the start or earlier. And this kind of doubles up on what you said. And I can appreciate why Bittencourt got the start yesterday. Sure. I just don't understand
it.
In any Olay. Head-to-head on yeah.
It's true though, right? Like, we know how it is. If he has one good game, then he's just going to keep playing. I get he had the first game was great. Second game was okay. So I remember, I think we had a conversation about it somebody was like, is it going to be Staya or is it going to be, Bittencourt? And everybody was like, for sure, it's going to be Bittencourt. 100%. Now granted, it may be Staya next game because Bittencourt was so invisible ideally because we know Staya as an entity, but if it was Leo and then like, And under 23 kid, it would just continue to be Leo.
Yeah. So yeah, in this particular game, it was just a little frustrating for me because, I mean, although Bittencourt, like you said, Christian, he's been serviceable in the last couple of games, and he got an assist. He had a nice little touch pass that went on to Voltomat, who scored that opening goal for Werder. So, you know, credit where it's due, right? So he got an assist, but I really felt we struggled defensively, especially on our right-hand side. And that is because Bittencourt, for as wonderful as a snappy little fired up defensive player that he can be, Stea is better. And Stea is a better all-round two-way player. And, he typically has played on the right-hand side in his career. I have no idea why for the majority of his career with Werder, he's played on the left-hand side. But we've now got a system where he could reasonably be positioned where Bittencourt is and do the job Bittencourt's being asked to do. Double sixing with that almost sounds kind of sexual. Double sixing.
Yeah.
With
I'm about the nut. Oh no! Oh, I'm about the nut. Oh.
That's gonna be a meme
for
now.
My birthday, baby. I want a double six. Tell your friends.
I think he's an all-round better two-way player. So I was for me that was a down. And then my last down, I've got the way that Bittencourt's barber has been working with the Clippers. It looks like Leo is going for one of those modern mullets. Please don't.
Let's go.
Leave it to the youth to revisit the horrors of 80s fashion.
You're a good and early 90s.
You don't need to do this to yourself.
Yeah, now I want to see it. Get a rat tail, buddy. Rat tail and some steps. Let's fucking go. Maybe some crossed hockey sticks, and you're looking like Southwestern Ontario, and actually probably most of Manitoba or Saskatchewan, Alberta. Yeah, actually,
I'm where the mullet never went out of style.
Yeah. It's been through several generations of...
Oh, don't even pretend like you don't know what these places are, Juan, where the mullet exists. You know.
Yeah, no shit, eh? He's from a place where teeth don't exist.
Where your postal code is E-I-E-I-O.
I-O.
All right, let's talk about the things that were awesome. Go ahead, Christian.
Not going down when, or like not giving up when we had a goal against. That was a pretty big deal for us. We didn't fall apart. And I got to say that was really impressive. Not only did we not like fall behind, we played hard and we played harder and we came back. Unfortunately, it still ended up a dry. Yeah, hard. But I was genuinely impressed by it. It was like, it didn't faze us at all, which is how once again, we need to strive for consistency with that sort of attitude on a regular basis, out to just absolutely fucking destroy everybody all the time. If they score a goal, great, just means we have to score two now. Let's go and fucking get it done, you know what I mean? So that was pretty impressive to me. I didn't actually mind Schmid in the first half. I was hoping to get some stats on it because I thought he looked all right. He had some decent runs, was still looking threatening. Maybe not as good as the last couple of games, but I didn't think he was all that bad at the start. By the end of it, I was... Yeah, he just sort of was back where he's been the last little bit. I know, once again, Roach and I were talking about it. I will say this. He has sort of returned to his best position, which is as an attacking player, not like a box to box, not a winger, but he is like kind of almost like sitting behind the striker type of guy. That's where he was playing. I think Roach and I were talking extensively about this because him and Schmid weren't playing at the time, and we had an awful midfield. We couldn't understand why these two dudes weren't getting any playing time. Schmid was actually playing for Wolfsberger and was like scoring goals and assists in Europe. And I was like, why? Like, I'm pretty sure you and I were still doing the show at the time. It was what, 2018, 2019?
Oh yeah, we've been around too long to know better.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and I think would have been Floco at that time, too. Yeah. We couldn't figure out why these guys weren't getting any time. Anyways, that's sort of what we should be seeing from this dude. And we've been seeing a lot of it the last couple of games, despite that maybe yesterday was not his best.
And then the little guy. Well done.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then finally, I'm sure you have this as well, Voltamata. I don't know how he wouldn't. Yeah. You know, that fucking garbage player that's going to play at Stuttgart for whatever goddamn reason they want him.
Fuckers.
Yeah, exactly. Damn, did we dodge a bullet with that one? Absolutely brilliant. Great to see him out there. Great to see him score some goals. Honestly, if he was getting more than 6 minutes a game this entire season, he probably would have scored a lot more goals and probably would like to stay and play here and score even more goals. Alas, we are where we are, and he's off to Stuttgart to play in Europe. And he will absolutely may not even be for, you know, he's going to be playing a lot next year. I don't doubt it.
He won't get minutes, Christian. Trust me.
Yeah. He's like, not with their depth. Yeah, between playing in Europe, playing in the league, playing in the DFB Pokal.
I have it from Werner69666 on Twitter. Says yeah. He is not going to get any kind of minutes there.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to get less minutes than he got here, in fact. I'm sure, yeah. What if they loan him back to us? One can dream. Yeah, honestly, and we'll have to pay them, I'm sure, some astronomical amount. You imagine? That sounds about the sort of deal that, you know, Bauman would have set up for us. Anyway, so yeah, Voltamata was my last sort of positive good thing.
Well, obviously I did have Voltamad as well, so I might as well start there. And rather than tell you about it, I wrote a song.
He doesn't have what it takes to make it in this league. No goals as a striker isn't someone that we need. For those who kept on spouting, you made a mistake. Thought Matt took a dump on your hot take. The guy is kind of gangly and has a funny run. A third division MP career was over before it begun. For those who keep on hating, it's time to hit the brake. Ultimate just shit all over y'all. Hot take. Woo!
All right.
Love it. I hope you use that like every show to the point where it's like, Jesus Christ, not again.
And honestly, I want to thank Geppy for introducing me to the AI demons that create that stuff. I literally sat down in 5 minutes, punched out the lyrics, and I got that. It was wonderful.
So I'll have to get you to explain to me how it works even to begin with. I sorry.
Well, it includes a lot of bloodletting and a few other things, but you know you get a product in the end, which is great. Yeah. All right, so that was my first up, was that, like, let's be honest. I mean, applause to Voltamad for completely besting his critics in that game. Now, granted, one game is an isolated incident, and that's exactly how it's going to be defended. But the reality was he showed what quality he does have, you know. So when put in a position to succeed, I'm sure he will. So the second up that I've got is what I'm calling game control. So what I did enjoy about the game was that Werder, regardless kind of the scoreline, they really did. They appeared to be in control of the game. Like, even when they were down 1-0, I felt that Werder were pushing to equalize and had control of the game. They were pressing and showing urgency and didn't give away a pile of like huge chances. And even when we were tied again, Werder dominated the possession, was patient in the buildup and fairly solid on defense. Zetterer, I felt, had to make a couple of key stops in all of this, but I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I felt like I got the sense that during the game, Werder were, I didn't really feel like there was a time where they were really up against it or had their backs against the wall for like a full 20 or you know, 15, 20 minutes. And I felt that many, many times during other games during the year. This is one of the most consistent performances I've seen them play. Gladbach do have quality. So I have to say it was a big up in the way that we controlled the game for the most part, and they looked to put their stamp onto it. And I think you already mentioned, getting back into the game. So that was another one of my ups. So I had a fourth one that I added. I'd like to thank Werder, for not having some nonsense, bogus, drama infested batch of news come out last week. It was really refreshing for a change to go through my work week without having to read headlines that made me scratch my head, throw my tablet, or scream into my pillow. The closest that we had was the return of Sebastian Mielitz to play for the Utes. So obviously it can be done. Well done, Werder, for getting through an entire week with it.
Ole saves sort of orphanage and three-legged dogs from fire that consumes half of village in Northwest. I expect to see it next week.
Well, we got a few other topics that we want to get to and some listener questions. And, you know, since you requested it, Christian, why not just double up on this tune?
He doesn't have what it takes to make it in this league. No goals as a striker isn't someone that we need. For those who kept on spouting, you made a mistake. But Matt took a dump on your hot take. The guy is kind of gangly and has a funny run. A third division MP career was over before it begun. For those who keep on hating, it's time to hit the break. Ultimate just shit all over y'all. Hot take. Woo!
Brilliant. I was actually, I had my jug. I was just maybe use my washboard next time as well.
Nothing better than a guy blowing on a pair of jugs. All right, let's get into some of the additional topics. So the first one that we had was 1,000 Bundesliga home games. I don't know if there's anything more to say about this other than it does. I mean, it shows the tradition, the stature of Werder as an organization, as an entity. That is really, it's an incredible landmark to hit. And I don't know if you have anything to say on that other than, wow, I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, no, that is incredible. And I think that's something that is sometimes lost on us not being in Germany. You know what I mean? Not being part of, and then, you know, we do sort of on the show, unfortunately, get a little riled up about how sometimes there's provincial thinking when it comes to Bundesliga clubs. But it is, I mean, there's such a rich, rich cultural tapestry with this club and the city and the people who support it. And it's fucking incredible. And something that, you know, I hope that we never forget, even if we sometimes lose sight because of other things going on at the club.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, it's a double-edged sword to have that kind of longevity. I mean, we saw what happened to a particularly shitty club in the north of Germany. When you're around long enough and you begin taking that for granted, you begin believing that because you've been established for so long, you deserve to be there.
Nothing can happen. Yeah.
Right. You know, and that, I think when a lot of the times when we get on our hobby horses or when we're railing against the club, it's because we're doing everything we can to keep us from getting into a place of complacency or entitlement, you know, where, and it's amazing that even after a year in the second league, you still see that sense of entitlement being projected by the fan base. And I think it's so dangerous, but on the one hand, you know, you got to say that's incredible. It's amazing what they've managed to accomplish. And again, on the other hand, that's the danger of it, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another bit of news that came out, Zetterer extends his contract. So I believe it's understood to be till 2027. I'm assuming it's a fairly significant pay rise. You know, Zetterer has been, this is again my opinion, one of the marquee moments for Werder this season. It was during an injury spell with Pavlenka that he got another shot at the number one spot and showed why he needs to stay there. And Zetterer's largest contribution for Werder is through the build-up play. So unlike Pavlenka, Zetterer has been able to play the ball smoothly with his feet. I mean, the amount of times that the ball got passed back to Pavlenka and everybody's butthole puckered because he didn't know what was going to happen. You know, beyond that, I think Zetterer's got a great eye for the counterattack. His throw in particular, I think, is very strong, and he's created some good opportunities. I'm very pleased he extended his contract, and I look forward to next season with him being between the sticks.
Yeah. No, I'm 100% in agreement with you. I'm shocked that people still prefer Pavlenka over him. I don't understand it by any measure. But Zetterer has been incredible. And
I'm sure that sits right. Like, it's got that familiar ass crew, right? And
that's yeah. Something like that. I mean, I've even seen there's one guy who's like, he wants to see Pavlenka start the last game. No, I don't. That's, you know what? And this is that sort of fairy tale bullshit that I'm not into. Fucking, like, let's win it. We can celebrate Pavlenka later. This isn't the fucking Pavlenka fan club. Appreciate what he's done for it. Wish him the best. Thank you for playing for us. Love you a lot. But I'm not going to prioritize him saying goodbye to the fans so we can lose to a game or potentially put ourselves at risk. No, no, no. Anyways, Zetterer resigns. Love it. Hope he stays here a while. I wouldn't doubt if he's one of the best key men. Maybe I'm jumping to conclusions, but I do feel like he might be one of the best keepers in the league. You know, perhaps biased.
I think the amount of interest that was shown in him during the second half of this season, I think indicates that we've been sitting on a real good keeper for a while, and now he's getting to show what he's got. So yeah, no, that's great. Okay, we were going to leave some time here today for you to go through your transfers and transfer rumors. So Christian, why don't you take over and walk us through what you got?
No, I don't want to.
All right, perfect. Moving right along.
All right, so perfect. So I put this together by age. This actually was more meant to be done last week, but we had a lot of shit going on, so we never got around to it. Essentially, I these are names that have been kind of thrown around. I went by age first. And then worked its way down to youngest. So starting with the oldest to youngest.
I was gonna say, there shouldn't be anybody over the age of 23 because we're prioritizing youth.
Right? Well, you would be fucking shocked. Actually, no, you
no,
wouldn't.
No, I
the
wouldn't.
The first guy's the oldest. Everybody had a good time with it. And I don't know how many people have been paying attention over the last couple of weeks. But we've been tied to a guy called David Affengruber, who currently plays in the Austrian Bundesliga for Sturm Graz. He's a center back. He's 185, so I guess what, 6'6"? 6'4", 6'4", I think, if I'm not mistaken, because he's a little taller than me. Anyways, he's got 27 appearances this year with 2 goals. He's 23, born 2 days after me, but also 21 years after me. It looks as if he is worth apparently about $3.5 million, which is affordable for us, believe it or not. We don't really know the finances. All I can ever do is say, like, I'm assured that we are never going to buy anybody for $10 million. It's just not going to fucking happen. But, like, I mean, certain things like 6, yeah, it's probably on the top end of shit, but it's not completely out of the fucking question. Anyways, he can play defensive mid, but is mostly a center back on both the left and the right. He is right footed. His contract expires actually June 30th of this year. So we could be getting him on a free. Feels very much. Yeah. He has played for both the under 19s and the under 21s in Austria. I don't think he has any national caps, but it looks as if he would be a solid Jans signing. So the second name that we had been sort of rumored with is a guy called Albion Rahmani, who is a Kosovar international. He's a center forward. Looks like he's a little guy at 1.88 meters. I have no clue what that is in feet. I'm going to say he's about 3'1", if I'm not mistaken.
Schmid was being tired of being on the front row of the pictures for the team.
That's right. Sears says, not that little. Well, sounds like we got another little man in the audience there. So apparently he's like 5'10", which is about, I guess, like slightly above average of dwarfs. So 180 is 5'11". Okay. Well, he is one. Okay. So he's about 5'11". Okay. Well, that's not bad.
Don't you guys have anything better to do than fact check us while we're doing this?
A bunch of fucking nerds, short kings over there. Really concerned with their heights there, fellas. So anyways, he's got... So fucking dumb. What's wrong with me? Anyways,
what's wrong with you?
5'6", respect me. Of course you are, Juan. Girthy 180. There we go. My Colombian king there. He's had 6 appearances. I don't know how often they update the transfer market or whether I like how accurate for the I guess it's probably a little bit more difficult with the Kosovar League. He's had 6 appearances, 4 goals with 1 assist. Lord knows why we're looking at him. He plays as a center forward. Looks like he spent the majority of his time in the Kosovar League. And his value is $2.3 million, which is interesting.
A doppelganger or some such?
Maybe. It looks like he plays as a center forward, so... I don't recall Rashica. Rashica was a little bit more of like kind of
a wing striker,
yeah. I guess. Yeah. Fuck. Hold on. Okay. This will be interesting. God damn it. Because I don't have the internet. All right. I'll try and do my best with this.
Don't worry. But I was throwing that out there more so as a Verter going back to the well of things that are familiar.
In this case, I'm just like trying to load up because I was using, obviously, I can't. Because everybody's fucking anal retentive thing about my phone and the speakers and mics and shit. Yeah. I have to use my iPad, which I don't have internet anymore. So I'm loading up pages sort of half. We really run a tightly knit operation over here. So I'm probably going to be missing some of this information. Yeah, Christian's working on Drake's internet. Yeah, from the sex dungeon. Anyways, the next person we have is a guy called...
Because you say that like it's a bad thing.
Yeah, seriously. Well, it's tough when you're a little bit tied up, if you catch my drift. So the next person we have is 19-year-old Yaimar Medina, who is an Ecuadorian international. He's worth about $600,000. He has, I guess, a couple caps for the under 23. He is a left-footed midfielder, if I am not mistaken. It's kind of hard to tell. Yeah, exactly. It's hard to tell because I can't load this up anymore. So it's Y-A-I-M-A-R Medina. If you need to check him out for further details, apologies. I can't get anything else here. Don't even know who the fuck he's playing for. Yeah, boy.
It's the 80s and I'm down with the lady.
Watch out, Vagina. Here he comes. So next we, I'm sure everybody's sort of seen that these next two names have been sort of popping around a lot lately. In particular, I think this one, Asan Wedraogo, who is he's got a German citizenship, but I think he's also maybe got a cap or two for Burkina Faso. He is under 18, and he's at Schalke right now. He plays in the center midfield. He's at 1.19 meters, which is probably like 6'4", 6'6", maybe. His value, let me see if I can find this. I think he's on a free as well. So, I mean, we've been looking to sign him. Oh, I'm so annoyed that I don't. Oh, motherfucker, I should have just sent screen caps for this shit. Anyways, we've been kind of like rumored to sign with him. I think, oh, there we go. Sooner says he's worth about $8 million. I'm not sure when his contract ends. I would assume soonish. He's got quite a few caps for the German. Under 16, under 17, and under 18. He's got about 19 caps there, which is a good sign. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, it could very well be that we sign him. There's been a lot of people after this kid, judging by the sound of things. I think including the likes of Scheisse Bayern, and there was somebody else, maybe Dortmund. But it would be nice to get. He's a young kid as well who has a lot of experience. He's been playing pretty regularly for Schalke. I think he's played quite a few games this season.
For those listeners that aren't regular, what division is Schalke in again?
Bundesliga 2. Yeah, and I think fighting relegation right now too. So they're going to have to maybe have a fire sale for him, which doesn't mean shit because there's still a lot of teams with a lot more money than us. Don't forget that. And then last but not least, we have Karim Koulibaly, who is unfortunately a Hamburg under 19 player. He's a center back. He is 16 years old. He does have some under 17 caps with Germany. He does play center back, and he is a left-footed player. His contract also expires on the 30th of this year. So he could be coming on a free. The only question is, you know, where are we looking to play him? I mean, it does help that he's close to home. I remember seeing some rumors saying that he was interested in coming to Bremen, which would be dope. I'm sure it would help a lot Yeah. Anyways, if our under 23s would go up a league. Yeah, that's it for now. And I apologize for not having more information, but as we know, I currently don't have the internet. Blah, blah, blah.
Situations being what they are.
Exactly.
Well, yep. I was watching my signal pop up and down too. Well, that sounds like sexual again. So I'm not sure.
It's like a little bit.
If Drake has entered my airspace or what the hell's going on here. All right. Let's get some listener questions.
ESPN Plus Originals. The exclusive home of the complete 30 for 30 library.
All right, we got a few questions here for you, Christian. Let's start at the start. So for this season's wildly different results and performances on the pitch, it seems that Ole Werner has found something that is working. Does this give you confidence going into next season?
No. Next question. No, in all seriousness, not really, because we've seen this before. He takes a long time to adapt. He does find solutions to problems.
It's true.
But when those solutions no longer work, he's very slow to move on. Like, wildly slow. And you know, usually, like, for players, it takes injuries, cards, absences, basically, to play another player in their position. I mean, Dukes went fucking however many games, you know what I mean? We could beat that horse. Anyways, but I mean, even from the start of the season, when we got, I mean, end of last season, we got found out and we still continued to play it, right? Yeah. This is working right now. It's great. And I've been thinking about this. It's a great question, but what happens when this no longer works? He's still going to continue to play this. He's just very slow to adapt. It's my biggest issue with him. It's like a top three issue, in fact.
Yeah, like I honestly would have nothing to add to that. I think you've pointed out exactly what the concern is that if teams adapt to what we're doing, which they will,
yep.
how many losses, ties, or just poor performances does it take before we get the next iteration that works again?
You know, absolutely. Yeah. There's better coaches, better teams, and they are going to figure out where the weak link in this is.
Yeah,
it's not and they'll figure out it,
right.
No, exactly. They just haven't had the opportunity yet. But there's going to be a lot of months off, a lot of time off in between now and next year. So I promise you, they will figure it out during that time period.
I even remember last preseason, there was all this talk about moving to a 3-4-3 or that Werner was going to be implementing a secondary system
yeah.
in order to provide some variation on the field. And they had all summer to work with this, and it never happened.
No.
You know? And yeah, Sooner's right. In the preseason, they did play 3-4-3s, and then it never materialized in the season. It never
did. Yeah.
Nope. Okay, next question here. With the teams most likely leaving this year and those most likely coming up, do you think the Bundesliga will be harder for Werder next season, or will it be another year of lackluster football?
No, I think it'll probably be harder. I think this year was a bit of a fluke. You've got a whole offseason for everybody to reevaluate how the season went for them, right? And that's exactly what's going to happen. I'm sure everybody recognizes this is a blip and they're going to have to come back harder, come back stronger. Teams that barely stay up will have to say, well, fuck, what are we going to have to do next year? Because the heat's really going to be on. We got lucky. Question is, will we do that? Will we be the ones to adapt and show that, you know, do better than this year? That's always been my biggest thing, is show you're better year after year. Now, I don't expect us to win Champions League. I'll be honest. That shit ain't gonna happen. I'd be shocked if we can even make it to like a Europa final in the next 40 years. But I do expect to see some sort of progress and even incremental success. You know what I mean? Whether, like I said, it's points or position in the table, or ideally both. You know, just challenging, make the year interesting, and I expect to see it again next year. I expect to see it this year. I guess we'll see whether, you know, how that plays out.
Your point this year as an outlier is really well taken. I mean, we're talking about a game ago. We were still threatened with the likelihood of relegation, yet still talking about Europe.
I mean, that
yeah,
that gives right? you a pretty good idea of just how poor the quality has been. And I can't imagine that that is going to be a situation that we're going to run through a second year in a row, irrespective of who's up and down. All the teams are going to make changes. I just don't see it happening twice. I genuinely, for the sake of the Bundesliga, I hope it doesn't. Okay, let's move on to some would you rathers. Christian, would you rather start a Werder youth movement with Floco or Werner as coach?
Oof, Jesus Christ.
Or Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who is less likely to play the youth? I'd have to go back to check Floco's history.
I'd have to as well, but I get the sense that Floco was more willing, but he had too. His ideas were terrible.
That's it. Way less successful. You know what I mean? Like he was, Werner at least will make adjustments. It takes forever. It's like trying to turn a steamliner around. Takes forever.
Had this really cool, like, you know, at the beginning of his tenure, it was offensive. It was high risk, right? Yeah. It was all the things we loved. And then it completely turned into this defensive, stale garbage, you know,
blocking. Defensive, net. Like in name yeah. only, because we were still oh, really? Getting fucking scored on.
Well, and, you know and, what I mean? And sooner, the roster was also worse. He had to rely on Embom.
Sure.
I'm just going to point out that Floco was the one that tried to play Jojo Agustin as a midfielder. Floco was the one that thought that Embom was a right back, right? Like these are some of the Floco ideas, right?
That's right. Especially when you actually had dudes that would play those positions, but he just straight up didn't want to play them.
Yeah. Let's not allow time to romanticize what was.
Yeah. Seriously.
All right. Would you That's rather fair. start a club with Tim Steiten? Obviously, I just got a boner. Start a club with Tim Steiten as a technical director and Robin Dutt as the manager.
Wow.
Or Frank Baumann as the technical director and Werner or Floco as the manager. I'm going with Tim Steiten. What
the fuck kind of question is that? That's pretty obvious.
Dustin Special.
Yeah, Dustin. Come on, man. You're better than that. We both know the answer to that. Especially because like Dutt would just get fired and you could replace him, but you'd still have Steiten doing an amazing job. You know what I mean? Inevitably, Dutt is going to get fired. The bigger question is who is running the show between those two clubs? You know, regardless, Steiten. Anyway, sorry.
All right, bet on it or against it. And again, folks, I should have said this at the beginning. If you want to send these to me, please do this before the show starts, and I will add them to the list for Christian to, you know, I guess call you out and rebuke you and
publicly shame you.
All right, bet on it or against it. Militz was brought into the youth team, but will actually end up being our backup keeper
against
when they,
it
when they loan Backhouse I'm not even for another season.
Against it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to happen.
I want to.
I know. It just seems so ridiculous.
It's so Werner.
Yeah. To do that. It is. It's so Werner to do that.
Yeah.
You know? Man. It's that romanticism. Oh, it's so nice to have him back, you guys. Don't worry about where he's been playing the last 5 years.
Oh. Yeah, okay, bet on it or against it. Steya remains on the bench again for the start against Leipzig.
Against it.
You think he's starting, hey?
Yeah, who's I think been, he'll start.
Is he taking Leo's spot?
Yeah.
See, and I'm going to go with that classic.
You think Leo will start again?
I think that Werner got a point. He figured they should have had three. He is angry about the VAR call, and he feels that team is going to go against Leipzig. I think Leo starts. Yeah.
Okay. In my mind, I think he knows that Steya is a better player in that position. Steya should be starting all the time. I get what you're saying, and maybe I'm just giving too much credit to Werner.
I think he also believes that Steya is a better player, but I also think that Werner loves the old worn paths of Ole Werner.
That's true.
This is a beauty. Ole Werner is a better coach than Baumann is a sports director.
Wow. Damn. Yes, but not by much. That's cruel. That's a tough one. Yes. Yes. I'll give Werner more credit than I will give to Baumann. Baumann got us relegated, and we almost – and if we had stayed up, we would have had to pay how much? 20 million? 10 million for fucking – what's his face?
Selke, yeah, or Zelka. Yeah.
Oh my God.
The $50 million goal he missed on Gladbach that season when we went down 2020 or whatever.
Yeah.
I still have that image saved on my phone because that was the $15 million shot that we avoided because he missed the goal a wide open net.
Fuck. Thank fuck. Yeah. We'd still be working that off right now.
All right. This one was mine, so I can't answer it. If Werder makes Europe, the investor money will be diverted to build a team for that competition.
If Werder makes Europe, say that again, the investor money will be diverted to
a team for that.
No, I'm sure it's on paper. I'm sure that it's on paper to invest, and it's probably already been spent. But
the whole deal there was that the investors, number one, had no say over what happened to the cash, have no access to the media to complain about it.
They don't want a Leeds. They don't want a Leeds. I'm gonna bet against it. They don't want to turn us into Leeds. There's way too many fucking, especially with how this is. Yeah. I'm praying, knocking on wood. Jesus Christ.
All right, let's get Sooner in here to talk about whatever the hell he wants to talk about.
He's a very, very good friend of mine.
Sooner.
Maggot.
Sooner.
It's a rink system.
Maggot.
Sooner. Nobody can do it like Sooner.
Nobody builds walls better than
Sooner.
Nobody's better to people with disabilities than
Sooner.
We'll totally accept the results if I win.
Sooner, how are you doing?
Good. I'm just Googling animal species of the swamps of the American Southeast because I get to talk about whatever I want to talk about today.
It's like crocodiles, I think.
Just crocodiles. No,
snakes?
Else.
Yeah. Cajuns?
Right.
Cajuns?
Yeah. Humans are animals, so. Cajuns, perhaps some more than others. So.
Animal like.
My word.
How's it going, guys?
Let's not do this, guys, please.
Hey. I'll tell you straight up, my last name is incredibly fucking Acadian. There's no other, so I'm going to rip on my own on this one.
All right, Sooner, your best attempt to save this show. Go.
All right, good. Well, I mean, I kind of wish I was going to talk about animal species of the American Southeast because instead I'm going to have to talk about Rasenballsport Leipzig. So, basically outside of Augsburg is probably most everyone's least favorite team. They're pretty boring, I think. The game's going to be kind of interesting. I think I have some stuff to say about that. They're not that interesting to say to talk about, so I'm going to try and breeze through this. They are on a really crazy run of form, though. So on January 27th, they lost a game to Stuttgart 5-2. Since then, when the calendar flipped over into February, they've played 15 competitive matches, and they have only lost two of them, and each of them only by a goal at Real Madrid. So at home against Real Madrid and then at Bayern Munich. Those two teams are playing in a few days. One of them will go to the Champions League final. 13 of the 13 other games that they played, 9 of them were won, 4 of them were drawn. And during that span of games, Leipzig has only dropped points in the league once at home. They had a 0-0 draw against Mainz. So, I mean, they're playing really well, and they're playing really well at home, so we have that to look forward to.
I was just gonna say thanks for all the positivity. I'm feeling very actually. Christian and I are supposed to be on the Red Bull podcast next weekend.
I thought it was this weekend for some reason.
No, it's next weekend. You have to wait.
Okay, well, no, I'm glad about that. Believe you.
I really hope we win then, because that would be even more fun if you get to go in there and like.
Oh yeah.
I haven't even taken that into consideration.
as a non-starter, I don't know, we're not winning. But even with that, like Stuttgart, we were supposed to be on their podcast too, and we won, and then all of a sudden we were uninvited. I think people just don't want the risk of whatever the crap we're going to say.
Are we good sports though? That's the bigger question. Because I feel like we're kind of self-loathing enough that berating other teams wouldn't be wouldn't even be on the agenda, you know?
No, this is like, I make fun of my family. You can't, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly. Don't you fucking dare make fun of my lazy eye.
Right.
Sorry, Sooner. Go ahead.
Or my whore sister. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. Transitioning straight from that into Lois Openda, who is Leipzig's leading scorer this season. He has 24 goals. Only one other player on the team has half that amount. Wow. I'm not sure how many people listen to this podcast have been like keeping up with their highlights. I try to watch the highlights for every team every week because it's part of, I don't have anything else going on with my life, so why not spend an hour seeing how every team did? But he's probably the only player this season who's got like a highlight reel as good as like Girassi. Like some beautiful, beautiful goal scored by that man. He's really, really good. Some ugly ones like the one he scored against us in the Hinrunde. He has 32.4% of Leipzig's goals. Only Harry Kane and Girassi have a higher percentage of their team's goals so far this season. Another player who's really important for them is Javi Simons, but he's going to be out. He picked up a red card on Friday in Hoffenheim, and Transfermarkt. Sometimes I'm not always sure. Like if you see a yellow red, does that also equal automatic suspension? But yeah, Transfermarkt and FotMob have him ruled out for sure. Yeah, so sometimes it happens so rarely to us or in our games, or I guess like we're. Usually we see a lot of straight reds. We
don't outside see of Chris like, Grob, yeah, a double yellow.
Exactly. So I was not 100% sure on the rules there. So that's a slight advantage that he's not going to be playing. They're probably going to – the only other game he missed this season, they went with Baumgartner, who used to play for Hoffenheim. Obviously talented, but not going to be as good as Siemens out there. Leipzig is such a boring team. I mean, just in terms of like, yes, they're boring. They have no history, no culture, whatever. But like, they're good at everything you expect good teams to be good at: goals allowed, shots on target, clean sheets, and like, they're bad at all the things that you'd expect a good team to be bad at, like crosses. They don't do crosses. They don't do long balls. They don't tackle. Like they don't like need to do all that stuff. Or at least they don't have as many. They're not as good statistically as that as other teams in the league. So they just kind of fit the mold there. But I think this game's actually going to be kind of interesting. So let's talk about that. No, because normally whenever these two teams play, like everyone knows what's going to happen. Werder Bremen's going to like dig a trench. They're going to like throw rocks out of that trench and say maybe something good will happen today if we just pack it up and like just throw rocks at you. We'll get like a junk result.
Good plan.
And you know what's really funny? It's actually so Njinma scored in the Hinrunde. I was thinking about this today. Njinma scored in the Hinrunde game. And the previous three games before that, we had scored a goal against Leipzig in every game. The goal scorers in those games twice was Leo Bittencourt. And then I believe, unless something crazy happens in the next 2 weeks, Leipzig will be, unless I'm forgetting a goal, Leipzig will be responsible for Christian Gross's only goal in the Bundesliga. So our goal scorers in other games besides in Justin Jinma were twice Leo Bittencourt and once Christian Gross. Like we are.
Yeah, there's my lock for Bittencourt starting over Steya. Boom.
Exactly. Like we are in for the junk points. We're in for the junk result against Leipzig every time. But this time, I think it's going to be different. Leipzig, they don't have very much to play for. They could move up to third, and that, you know, it's good to be third as opposed to fourth, and I think that probably helps their Champions League group potential draw be a bit better, and yes, it's good, and blah, 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 blah. But, like, Werder Bremen is the team that actually has something to gain and nothing to lose. Like, they could fall down the table a little bit, but there's no risk of relegation. So I actually think that Ole Werner is going to come out and try to get some, try to be aggressive and try to really push the issue a little bit more than Werder Bremen usually does against Leipzig. And I think that that's going to play right into Leipzig's hands a bit. An interesting stat about Leipzig, I think, actually this year, they don't possess the ball quite as much as some of the other teams who are at the top do. And actually, Leipzig have 9 goals on counterattacks this season. Nobody has more. I think maybe someone's tied.
Nobody does counterattacking better than Leipzig.
Right. And you know who, I can't remember who, I don't have it in front of me, but only one Bundesliga team this season defends counterattacks worse than Werder Bremen. We have allowed 8 goals from counterattacks this season. I mean, probably like at least 3 or 4 of those must be from the Heidenheim games, I think. So I think... I'm like, seriously. For some reason, Dingshi and Besto got up for that game for some reason. I don't know what that could be. It's the weekly part of the show where an emergency vehicle drives by my apartment.
Toronto, so anyways, is just such a more pleasant place to talk to people in. There isn't any of those types of disruptions. Speaking of disruptions, Condre3k and Stormcrow have been distracting me because they've been going at each other at the in the Discord.
Amazing.
So don't everybody go.
Know what?
Everybody go and check that out.
I have to go check that out.
I'm sure he doesn't even listen to this fucking thing. I've had Stormcrow blocked for time because I'm just tired of his. It feels like trolling takes. I'm like, I'm not even interested in engaging with you at this point. I'm just not like, I'm very much open. People know that I'm very much open to arguing or like points that I don't see. But when you're just like, no, dumb, get out of here with that horse shit.
All right, try and recover from that there All sooner. Right,
I'm going to recover from that. So, anyways, perhaps. Much like perhaps might be happening between Stormcrow and Contre, I think that one team is going to come out and really be the victor here. I think that it's Leipzig, and we might have a puncher's chance, but again, I don't think that. I think we're going to try and trade punches with them, and that's bad for us. I think
I would agree.
So I think that so this is what I ended up deciding for my lock. I've done this a couple times. This season, once it worked and once it did not. And it's on DraftKings. You can find, it takes a little while to find it, but you can find something that's like correct score bands, like where you get 3 scores. And if you put your bet on that, if one of those scores ends up being the final score, you win the bet. So my, I'm going to go with Leipzig to win either 2-1, 3-1, or 4-1. I think that they're going to have success against us. I think we're going to score a goal because, like, our motto, Werder Bremen's motto should be, like, we're good for a goal. Like, we've hardly ever, I think maybe 4 times this year we've been shut out. Usually we score at least once. And so we'll get a goal, and we'll probably keep them below 5. And so I think this is actually a pretty good bet, I think, because actually if you look at Leipzig to win right now, just purely on the money line, they're like -330. Which is, it's really bad. I mean, they're pretty heavy favorites. But if you bet on this score, this band of scores, you get +165 for that, which I think is kind of crazy because to me, if Leipzig's going to win, I would think 2-1, 3-1, or 4-1 would be some of the more reasonable results. So it's pretty good value here. So on DraftKings, Leipzig to win 2-1, 3-1, 4-1. I got it for 165 or a little bit earlier today. It's probably something like that still. And that is my lock.
You better lock it up. You lock it up.
Ooh, that's a big lock, all right. Of the day.
Yeah! Did anyone hear that fucking car driver?
Yes.
Oh, I thought that was actually part of the sound effects. I was like, damn, that sounds even more dramatic than I remember. And then I was in my mind, I was like, I gotta ask if Ben wants to like elongate it so it's like super long. To the point where people are like wildly uncomfortable. They're like, man, that shit seems to go on forever. Oh man, shout out to that guy fucking driving that Mustang. Almost guaranteed, or he's got an IROC.
Hilarious! Oh,
yeah, I live right by a 4-way stop, and let's just say I think a lot of people in my neighborhood don't really believe in mufflers, so I get that a few times a day at least.
So. King Ian says, "You don't think we're not uncomfortable already?"
a couple of negatives in there. A little bit of a double, triple negative. I didn't know that. I don't think we're not uncomfortable. All right, go ahead, Sooner. Let's talk about a contest and yes. wrap it up.
Mark and Matt Miller each had two draws for this game. I mean, it was really funny. Like, I have to remember this for the next time we play Gladbach. I'm picking 2-2 draws because it's the last three times we played, it's been a 2-2 game. So they got all the points. Everyone else dropped. No one else had any other draw picked. So the standings, we're only a couple of games left in the season, and the standings look like this. We got Matt Miller atop the – he's opened up quite a lead here, six-point lead. And Cacophony is kind of lagging behind in second. And Dustin, El Comandante are tied in third with 19. Le Chef and Christian both have 18. Dirt 13 and Gepi have 17. Ian McHugh and I have 16. In 11th place, Mark is alone with 15. Then Ben's got 14. I think that smells like Winnipeg to me. It's like a Canadian ska punk album.
Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up.
Don't pick it up.
And then
you
we
drop
have Andre.
Leave it.
Condre in 13th place with 13 points. That's interesting. Spivey's got 12. Strued in 15th has 11. Hair Doctor Tim has 10 points. Lohena's got 9. Juan apparently Vader did not win 100-1. So Juan's still got in 8 points. Jay's got 7. In 20th place, they got Big Ben and Arun. Muhammad has got 4, Brian L's got 3, and then bringing up the bottom of the table, it's I mean, for someone who we talk about, so I mean, she's not so boring. I mean, we talk about her every
week. I think she gets more airtime than almost anybody else in the contest. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So like, we always get here. I mean, how can she be that boring? I don't think so. That's it.
I just love how Christian's tuned in just to like.
Tell me more. Who's in what place?
Yeah. They double six in over there.
Yeah. Double six Tuesdays. Check them.
Yes. All right. Well, thanks, Sooner, for taking care of that. Remember, folks, two games left in the season, so don't miss out on putting your picks in. I have got some catching up to do. I still can catch the guys and get out of the Winnipeg Bus Depot, but it's going to take some perfection at this point in time.
What is the Winnipeg Bus Depot anyways? Like, I would have thought Boring Anna, like being in dead last place, well, but apparently it's somewhere else.
No, it was a shared thing between the four of us, us three and King Ian. Right, because we didn't want to actually subject anyone else to that.
Got fate. You.
Although, got you know, you. Come to think of it, I think the bottom half of the table, they aren't even picking anymore because they're like out of range. So we probably should make it the bottom somebody because then they at least keep participating. Like, although Boring Anna having not picked anything, being in the Winnipeg Bus Depot, that might be the most unboring.
Well, who's like out of, like, what is it? It's out of 20? Hold on a second here. So I'm assuming like what 18, 19? Who's are there people still picking? Like down at the final at the end there? Like Arun, is he still picking?
No, I don't think so. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people didn't pick last week, for instance.
Okay.
El Comandante is in third place and he just said, I don't even need to pick this week.
Yeah. Coasting on his laurels.
Fucking send him to the goddamn Winnipeg Bus Depot. That sort of attitude.
It's like you get me. You like get like an envelope in the mail and you open it up and it's like a trip to the Winnipeg Bus Depot.
It's the opposite of Willy Wonka.
Right. The only time you wished it was Anthrax.
A van pulls alongside of you as you least expect it. Men in balaclavas jump out and throw a bag over your head.
As Larry David said, at least it's going to be an interesting time. Right. All right. Let's wrap things up. I still got the Werder history to get through. So if there's anything else you guys need to chat about before you guys sign off.
No, that's it. Thank you as always. Vive la Cadie.
Have a good one, guys.
Ciao.
All right. Thanks to both of you guys for adding what you do to the show. It's always great. So let's do some Werder history here. Only a couple shows left in the left of the season. So we'll obviously end probably with the 1970s. But today we're talking about 1967-68 season. And where we left you off last time with Werder, they were in real trouble. So after the failed season of 1966-67, Werder were looking to spring back. So the season prior, the club managed to barely escape relegation in a season that was as treacherous as it was long. Although Werder coach at the time, Brucker, had overseen the steady decline of the recent championship club, he was allowed to start the 67-68 season. It was a disaster. Brucker's reputation within the team prior to the start of the season was already very low. The media and the fans, although slightly more optimistic, didn't have fond feelings for the former Schalke player. Brucker made a few really weird personnel changes to the starting lineups that would prove disastrous and cause most to scratch their head. It would be after three successive losses to start the season, including being bounced out of the first round of the Pokal, but not limited to a Hamburg loss, which was the first loss to Hamburg in the Weserstadion since the inception of the Bundesliga. And this would leave Brucker to be escorted by police out of the stadium for his own protection. In fact, in some of the games where he was coaching, police protection was required just so that the fans didn't harm him during the game. It was after the third bankruptcy that Werder became leaders in the Bundesliga in another category. They became the first team in Bundesliga history to fire a coach. The board actually stalled out on firing the failing coach as the team was in dire financial trouble because of poor attendance the last year. They feared that the amount of compensation that would be owed Brucker would actually be a bigger hindrance to the team long term than firing him. They did eventually fire him, and the new coach would come again from Schalke, and it would be a bit of a carousel of change as Schalke would eventually then hire Brucker. The new man, Fritz Langner, took over the team and immediately corrected many of the personnel miscalculations made by Brucker and set course to get the team back into shape, who had woefully fallen out of fitness under the prior coach. Fritz's impulses were correct, and Werder went on to win the first three games with him in charge. Then there was a slight setback, and onlookers began to wonder if the team really was just beyond repair. Then something took hold of the team, and they went on a tear that has not been witnessed by fans of the Bundesliga at that time and for many, many years after. Werder would go on to lose only two of the final 21 games of that season, catapulting the team up the table. They would end up finishing the season in second place, just behind Nuremberg, and without a doubt would have won the league had it not been for the false start at the beginning of the season. So that is the 1967-68 season recap. There's a couple of cool extra articles in there. I'll post these things to the Discord. So for those of you that have listened to the show or have made it this far and you want to join Discord to catch up on it, I'll post those pages. They are in German. You can use Google Translate to read up on it on your own. But that's a little bit of a recap, and I've really enjoyed getting to know a little bit more of the history of the team. So that'll do it for us today. As always, I want to thank our listener audience. You guys are wonderful. You guys are the reason we do these. And come hang out with us, whether it's on Twitter, Discord, however you want to email. We're more than happy to communicate with you guys, go back and forth over various things. We've made some great friends over these years, and the Werder community is always a great one to hang out in. So come be a part of what we do. We'd love to have you. Thanks again so much, everybody, and we will talk with you again next week after what will likely be a painful game against Leipzig. Take care, everybody. Love you all. We'll talk with you soon. Bye-bye.
Moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. Moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. Moving to the country, gonna eat a lot of peaches. Moving to the country, gonna